This is a different sermon that I intended to preach. I think I was actually, I was preparing a different sermon, but during March prayer meeting, church prayer meeting, I sense a deep presence of the Holy Spirit telling me during the prayer meeting, Connie, preach on waiting on God. I didn't know why, but I just obeyed, right? So I hope that today, this will be something that it's that you can take home. Maybe you're waiting for something important in your life. Maybe you know that our church is waiting for something very important in God's kingdom. I think it's God's, the Holy Spirit, really want us as the congregation together to learn about waiting on God. Who enjoys waiting? Who has already found out some good tricks you can do while you can spend time on while you're waiting? Actually, I don't like waiting. Waiting for me is like wasting of time, right? And sometimes I really hate waiting. Because waiting is, it means stay still, stay. Stay where you are, delay your action until a particular time or until something happens. So none of us really enjoy the process of waiting. Today, Psalm 130, and if you have your Bible, if you take a look at Psalm 131, these two psalms are actually, they're so precious. We talk about how to wait on the Lord. Now, from Psalm 121 to 134 is a collection of psalms called the Song of Ascent. It's for the Jews who have lost their nation. The exiles, when they went back to their nation, to Jerusalem to worship God, it was a long road going back. And it's a lot of anguish, a lot of regret, a lot of sadness, and yes, we need to hope on the Lord. God will redeem our nation. So this is a collection of psalms, a collection of prayers, actually psalms and a collection of songs that we can sing and to keep encouraging themselves. I love psalms, and this guy, my son, he really loves psalms, because every time I went into, I asked, Wesley, can I read gospel with you at night? He would say, I like psalms, alright. So I asked him why, and he would tell me, because it's so true, because psalm is actually a prayer. So it teaches us as human. It's in touch with our reality. It's in touch with your heart. Whenever you are in need, you can use God's word, the prayer book, the Psalms to pray with you. Now, today we're not talking about waiting for trivial things like, waiting for which restaurant I should go. Lord, can you just teach me, just tell me which restaurant should I choose for tonight? No, not these trivial things. We are talking about something important and good that is happening in your life that you've been waiting for. This is such a So, I just want to ask you, is there anything in your life right now that wants to wait on the Lord? If there is, can you write it down in your monitor? Or do you think there's something that's happening in the church right now that you've been waiting for? Now, personally, I think you may be waiting for salvation to come to someone you love in your family or in your relatives. Or you may be waiting for a job offer. You may be waiting for a university offer, right? It's so exciting. We have 5 university students, grade 12 students here. And for some of the adults, I know you may be waiting for some financial relief or, waiting for a job change or you need guidance in a relationship or in school or in teams, right? And some you may be waiting for God's justice to be done. Now for PGC, what have we been waiting for as a church? Do you know? Anybody? The land, yes. At least 10 years, right? At least we've been waiting for the land, and we have been waiting for an English pastor, right? And we've been waiting for a property that we may use for non-Sunday use. We're waiting for God's provision. Now, looking at it, I can tell you, if you look at my own Bible, these two Psalms are written at least four dates on these Psalms. That tells you from 1998 to 2006, there are four different dates. So they marked my journey of prayer using this Psalm. I can share with you a little bit. For example, looking back, I was praying really earnestly for the salvation to come to my grandma, to come to my mom. I've been praying for salvation to come to William's mom. We knelt down to pray for him when we knew she had terminal cancer. I also prayed earnestly when my doctor told me that I could not bear a child, like before Karis was born. She said, you know, for you, people like you, it's hard for you to bear a child. And then, I also prayed to God when I told my mom I'm going to study seminary in Tyndale, but she told me, huh, you're going for seminary? Okay, my mom said, you take care of your finance, okay? I won't pay for it. So I need to pray about it, right? And I also prayed this when William approached me. And I was so anxious. Oh, is he the Mr. Right? So I was praying, and these two Psalms helped me a lot. So I hope that you would think of something that you want to pray for the church or pray for your situation right now. But first of all, I need to show you four reasons why some people, they fail to wait on God from the Bible. Well, if we know that God has so much promises in the Bible to tell us when we wait for Him, He will give grace to us. When we wait on Him, He will answer us. But why do some people fail? The first thing is, let me share with you the exact word there. The first reason we could find is, Jesus told us we actually don't have faith. The faithless. Now Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, He told a story, a parable. He told His disciples, He said, there is a widow, there was a widow whom she really needed help. So she went to the judge without the judge who did not fear God and did not hear what the people thought. But because of this widow's persistence, she wouldn't give up, so she just wanted, you know, have her case rescued. So she just keep going. And this judge, out of annoyance, and out of, you know, oh, I just don't want to see this woman anymore, this judge helped the widow. But then Jesus said, I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Now Jesus said this is because He said, many of us, when we are waiting for God on something, sometimes we just give up too easily. We just, actually in the bottom of our heart, we'll be like this. Well, I don't really care, God, if you give me that or not, or give our church that or not. So just give up. So we walk away too soon. The second reason why do we fail is like Sarah and Abraham. Now, it's a really interesting story. On Genesis 15, if you flip your Bible to Genesis 15, you see that right on that chapter, God went to see Abraham almost face to face and told Abraham that you're going to have a son. And Abraham, out of disappointment, you know, even though he has a very beautiful wife, Sarah, right? And Sarah couldn't bear any children. So, Abraham just gave up and said, okay, may my servant become the heir of, you know, my life. But then God told him, no, this man will not be your heir. Your servants will not be your heir. But there will be a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So God took him outside to look at the night sky. Oh, I love watching the night sky. And see the, you know, countless stars. And God said, if you can count how many of the stars are, then you will be able to count how many of your offspring are. So They were so happy to have God's promise, right? But then on chapter 16, something different happened. Sarah, his wife, even though they know the promise of God, Sarah saying, maybe we try hard enough. She told Abraham, she said, the Lord has kept me from having children. So, go sleep with my two girls, Hagar. Perhaps I can build a family through her. That's not God's idea of waiting on God. So they wasted 13 more years just because Sarah has thought, God may not use me, the son of your own flesh and blood may not be through me, just through, well, it did. They gave birth to Ishmael, but that's not the promised child. So I would say the second reason is we're walking ahead of God. We walk too fast because we could not wait more enough. I would say the impatience finally messed up. It's a big mess. Do you know how messy it is for Abraham to handle the situation of sending Ishmael away after Isaac was born? It's a big mess. Okay, the third reason I would find is, I found in the Bible in the Old Testament, was Balaam, the wayward prophet. So, if you turn into Numbers 22, you would see that Balaam actually didn't really have to wait a long time for God to give him an answer whether I should, go with this Balak king's officials, whether I should curse Israel, right? God immediately gave Balaam an instruction and answer immediately, that telling them, you shall not go with this people to curse my people because I love my people. This is what God said. But the question was, what happened was, Balak didn't give up. So he said, maybe I should give more money to the prophet Balaam to lure him, to entice him, so I could ask him to change his mind and curse these people. So they send more officials with more handsome reward. So they can ask Balaam to curse the Israelite. Remember Balaam did? After these people come, again, with more money, Balaam said, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Now, it sounds awesome, right? And he said, but now, spend the night here, so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. Now, the story development was like this. Actually, God was so angry with him because Balaam, even after God said directly, it's not the one, he still gives excuses to wait for an alternative answer. So it's the greediness and his waywardness that even God gave him an answer, he didn't change. Okay, the fourth reason that why can't we fail to wait on God is, I will show you, is the first king of Israelite, and his name was King Saul, okay? Saul was very handsome. Everyone would look up into him because he was so handsome and so tall, and he was so charismatic, full of charisma. People loved him, longing for a king. That's why we learn that from 1 Samuel chapter 13. While the prophet Samuel told him, you should wait 7 days for me. Wait 7 days until I come, and then until I burn the offerings. Then we should decide whether we should, go for the battle. Now, Saul waited for 7 days, but not till the end of the 7 days. Now, at the seventh day, he found that his people are already a little bit discouraged. So, without waiting for the prophet Samuel to come, King Saul said, okay, I felt compelled to do the burnt offering. So which he should not be doing. So he is doing something that should not be his Even as a kingship, we do it. Right after burnt offerings, find your step. And son, what did he say? You have done foolish things. He didn't know that Samuel was just around the corner, just around the bend. So the problem we can see here, why couldn't people wait for God, is Saul himself has pride in his heart. He wanted people's support. That's why he felt compelled to do something so that he could achieve. Now, the kind of pride I'm talking about is impatience to wait on God, that God will act in his own time and way. So, this is a big problem. Now, next slide. Many of us, we would just want a go or no answer from God. But in God's perspective, it's not an answer. He wants growth. He wants growth, spiritual growth in us. Little do we know that God really needs time to do the best in our lives and in our church. And waiting is actually His way of maturing us. I want to tell you a story. There was a little boy who found a caterpillar in his backyard, and he was so excited to show his mom. And his mom thought, you know what? You should keep the caterpillar because very soon he will build a cocoon, and then it will metamorphosize into a butterfly. So this little boy was so excited, right? He capped the little caterpillar, and then he saw it was really good in a cocoon. And then he waited a few more days, and then he found that this caterpillar, after transformation, so there was a little hole in the cocoon, and this transformed butterfly should be coming out. So he waited and waited, and he was gazing at this cocoon hole a lot. But then he saw something. This butterfly was struggling too long. I think he needs my help. So he had a pair of scissors and snip more, you know, to snip the hole more to make the ball bigger so that he didn't have to struggle that much. Yes, he didn't have to struggle that much. But, you know, this butterfly came out quicker, but it was not fully developed yet. It came with a shriveled wing, and although it could break free, but it could never fly. So sometimes God wants us to struggle and wait longer so that He would give us stronger wings, more mature. So we should be thankful that God gave us so much promises. God gave us so many promises, not in this Psalm, but in the whole Bible about waiting on Him. But if you take a look at this chapter, there is actually not much promises. It's actually talking about attitude. It's teaching us to have the right attitude when we wait on God. So the next is, if you can see this, God has lots of time to achieve better things in our life. You see, Joseph was a handsome, very smart guy, right? He waited for 13 years until he could meet his brothers again. Abraham waited for 25 years from the first promise till Isaac was born. Moses waited for 40 years. Jesus waited for 30 years and 40 fasting days before he served God, right? And if God wants us to wait, there must be something. Okay, the next slide, please. Now, please write that down in your bulletin. There are four attitudes that God really wants us to learn in this waiting period. Now, the first two verses, they are very important. It's called, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." The first attitude we must have is, No, Lord, I really need you. Think about it. It's the first, it's the same as the first point that I talked about, you know, some people fail to believe in God. It's because in the bottom of their heart, they believe that they need him. But in this here, it's talking about out of the depths. Now, in the version, the message, it says, God, my bottom has fallen out. Like, I'm falling. It's really, the message says it this way. I need you. You are the only hope I have. So, in your situation, like in a church situation, do we really trust that God is our only? God is our biggest, powerful help? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, whenever you feel you need God, you are blessed. You are blessed. Now, the Bible is full of examples. When you really feel you need God, you will even give up your mealtime. You will even be so, you know, yearning that you will fast and pray. But I would say that PGC is not quite familiar with this, even though we have started to learn last year, but we can learn as young people. We should learn fasting and prayer for salvation of your family members, for your friends, and even for the future of our church. I myself, I would say, I'm not good at this too, but we should have this earnestness to pray and fast together. You know Daniel in the Bible? He fasted and prayed for 21 days, and then the Bible said that when he was praying for 21 days, fasting and prayer, you know what actually happened in heaven? It was a battle, a big battle between Satan and the archangel. So we know that it's a spiritual warfare. When Nehemiah, he wanted to go back to build the city wall, he fasted. When Esther, Queen Esther, knew that the whole nation was in crisis, they are being wiped out, she asked for permission to pray. And then God answered a prayer. So we need to have this earnestness to pray before God. And I really love this verse, which here it says, Lord, let your ears be attentive. Now throughout the whole Bible, there are images of God as the Father, like this, leaning his ear towards his children. Not sitting like Ronald at the back like this, okay? Yeah. Not like this, but he was like this. If in Chinese it says sub yi, okay, that means God is leaning his ear close to his children. You know, this is what God wants us to really to cry out to him, and he will listen. The next slide, I really like it, is sometimes we think we are waiting on God, but on the contrary, it's different. In the contrary, indeed, God is waiting for you. God is waiting on us. There are so many promises that talk about, you know, you think you're waiting for me? Actually, I'm waiting for you. God says he's waiting for his people because he is longing to be gracious to his people. Now, these two verses are from the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, right? If you read the book of Isaiah, you will read a lot of condemnation, judgment. You will see God is like condemning his children like an angry father, condemning all this, you know, bad and vicious, like, acts. But, on the contrary, when God was so angry, there were so many verses of consolation. So it's like together, it's like a parent and child. You know what? God is longing to be gracious to us. He's waiting for us to cry out to him. And I really love Isaiah 64, which says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who act on behalf of those who need him. God loves you so much. God loves PGC so much. He is waiting. He's waiting for us. The second thing I want to learn with this psalm, the second one, is I really love these two verses. They are, I think, the most crucial part we should learn while we're waiting in God. So it says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. Now, a mature child of God will not just come, rush to God and say, God, give me what I want. A mature child of God will go, when you come to the Father in heaven, when you come to the Lord Jesus, instead of asking for my things, you will see, actually, you need forgiveness from God. There's something that we may be wrong. Now, I would tell you one incident. 10 years ago, my mother-in-law, like William Swan, was in terminal cancer, so only a few more months left. And he was a missionary of a cult, you know, idol worship. She has been there 30 years. What can we do? So we really want her to know that only Jesus is her Savior. So we kneel down, we pray a lot before the trip, during the trip, you know, and every day. But then one day when I was praying, I was thinking a lot, I feel the Holy Spirit convincingly call me, you should say sorry to her. Do you hear me? Oh my, that's a big blow to my pride, okay? And then I remember some incidences was during the summers when she came to my house, our house, that I was not very good to her. There were some moments. I feel shameful. So, when I saw her lying on the bed, before we wanted to tell her that Jesus loves her, I knew down one time, right before her, holding her hand, and I told her, now, I want to apologize to you. That's what I told her. And then I told her what I thought I did wrong. And then she cried. And then I could never forget that moment. And then she cried. She asked me to forgive her too. I was shocked. I thought, why do you need to ask for my forgiveness? Because she remembers also something that she thinks she did not do right. And then my whole heart melted. Now before we want God to help us, I think it is very important to think about what have you done, thought, or did in my life. Lord, show me. If you keep a record of sin, you can stand before you. Because God is the judge, right, for the whole earth. So, if we really are waiting on God, God will transform your heart. He will reform your heart. He will transform your heart so that you have a clean and soft heart. Because whatever you want to ask before God, you must face this. Lord, you are holy. I am forgiven, and I can serve you. Well, many of you know that my mother-in-law finally became a Christian. And she, 3 times, she followed us to pray to receive Jesus as her own Savior. It's like a miracle to us. It's like a miracle. So, I really want to share with you, God can work wonders in your own life too. Now, the next slide I want to share with you is, sometimes we want God to work in our timetable, but no. God is waiting for us until our hearts are transformed. That's the best moment. God doesn't work on our timetables. God doesn't work on time. He works on our hearts when our attitude is right, when our hearts are right. So I believe He is waiting for us. Now the problem of today is sometimes churches, our leaders, that we're very quick in planning, we're very quick in doing events, or myself as a Christian, I can do a lot of stuff, but regarding our praying, kneeling down to pray, not very patient. Sometimes we give up too fast because we have already given God a timeline, right? So, think about David, King David in the Bible. He loves God so much, he wanted to build the temple for God. And even when he told this heart to Nathan, there's Nathan. Yeah. David told Nathan, I wanted to build the temple of God. But then you know what Nathan, the prophet, told him?
Yes, you should do it.
But after words, God found Nathan. God told Nathan to told David that you are not the one. You are not the one. Although I am pleased at your heart that you are not the one. So sometimes I think maybe God is waiting for, you know, someone, some, you know, a generation to do the right time to do his will.
The next slide is the third part. Okay?
So before the,
not yet.
Yeah.
Just hold on.
Now there was a boy, a young man, a graduate, maybe like Jessica's age, okay? So this young man is going to graduate soon. And this rich father is very happy. Well, my boy is going to graduate, you know, he asked the boy, my son, what do you want? I'm not sure if you would do the same, okay? What do you want for your graduation? So this man was saying, oh, it would be nice if you can buy me my dream car. Okay? So this father thinks, okay, you think about it, son, I'm going to buy you this dream car. So the son said, are you sure on my graduation day when I come home, you're going to give me my dream car? Yes, for sure. Okay. So, when the day that this son comes home, he's expecting his dream car to be sitting on the garage, on the front door. And you're like the father to me. Okay. So think about Uncle Roy, alright? So Uncle Roy, like this father, welcoming the son home, and then the son is waiting for the dream car, and then his father cannot come in. Here's your car. A box, nicely wrapped box. So this son, Nathan, comes to the dad. That's my car. So I unwrapped it, and he found it's a Bible. A nice, good, study Bible. And then, just like a smile now. So his father was smiling, and then his son was very disappointed. Maybe, you know, Nathan would be different. But this son, is actually, he was so angry. He was so angry that he found Bible again. This story is like this. Later days, he came back home. You know, after he was gone. He opened the Bible. He found the Bible. He opened. There was a car key, actually. A car key, and the tag was inside the box. But he could not see it. But he was too angry. Why is my dad tricking me? I thought I was having a car, but it's only about it, right? Little did he know that the car key was there. Do you know what his father was trying to do? Can you understand his heart? I think his father knows the most valuable thing in his life should be God's word. So even a car would depreciate, right? But God's word is the guidance of his life. So the next slide, I'm trying to ask for the attitude while we're waiting for God is, we actually need God's word. You know what? While we are waiting on God, actually, we need God's word. This here says, I wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman wait for the morning. More than a watchman wait for the morning. Now, as we wait on the Lord, it's very important is that we spend time, go deeper into God's word. No matter it's you personally or with your spiritual friends, your buddies in the church, it is very important to seek God's word and go deeper. Many of the decisions, many of God's guidance, it will not be, not only it will not be in contrary to God's word, it will always be in sync with God's word. So, I brought this Bible with me today. So, now, I know this is a really small one, but Well, during my university times, I didn't have a cell phone, right? When I bring this back, I found that this is very, it's like a cell phone size, right? So, I commute every day to university for 3 hours. 1.5 hour, 2 and 1.5 hour back. 3 hours every day. And, this very beautiful university was my university. It's Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. It's very famous because it's of its view, okay? But I couldn't enjoy it because there was too much homework. But every day I brought this Bible with me, and between classes, there is always a spot. You can find me there. You can find Hong Kong. There's always a spot. It's a big slope. There's a lawn somewhere here, okay? There's a lawn somewhere here. Then I can just sit on the lawn, and then I can see the horizon. I can look at the ocean there. I will read God's word and pray. And then, when I was 20 years old, my mom told me, after university, 21 years old, she said, "You're going to Canada." I said, "You're kidding me. I don't like Canada. Why am I going to Canada, right? I am staying in Hong Kong because I want to serve in the Campus Crusade for Christ. I already applied stuff at that time. Now it's called climate change, right? Yeah. So I was saying no. But then because I had a habit of coming here every day, like, you know, if any boy likes me, they should know I, they should know I sit there and they should be, but actually nothing happened. Okay, so, I was waiting there, and one day, while I was struggling with God, let my mom go to Canada, okay, let her to be happy there, I will stay. But then I turned to the first time, chapter 5, verse 4 to 8. I was just chapter by chapter reading the Bible at that time. And then I found a verse which says that if in a family you have a widow, if there's a widow in the family, if the widow has children or grandchildren, then these children, grandchildren should be repaying, loving their mom and grandma, repaying. God is so good. When you wait on Him, God's word will come, okay? And then this verse, it comes as a pure, comforting sound to guide. And that I told God, Lord, I let go. I'm so sorry. I only thought about myself. I never thought about my mom and grandma, even though they were not Christians yet. So, young people like you, please study God's word. I found this Bible at home, Simo. And then I found that you invest so much money by buying in bulk, right? These Bibles. Okay. So I'll tell you the story. When Terrence first bring this home, I would say, "Wow, you've got a pocket Bible." And then I was flipping like this. And then my girl was saying, "Mom, don't flip it like that. You will make it, you know, like, wrinkle, okay?" She loves it, yeah. So I would ask all of you who have received this gift from Simo, okay, who has it? Only a few? Excuse me, no, there should be more, okay? So please don't treat it as a Bible. Treat it as your journal. Write on it, mark on it, keep it. Now, from an A student like me, okay, I can assure you, if you really want to study the Bible, the phone is useless. If you really want to study something in deep, you need to write on it, copy it, mark it, just like studying any subject. The phone is just for convenience. If you really want to read God's word, make it and mark it as your Bible, as your journal. The next one. Is that Jesus promises if we wait on Him, He will give us His word. Now, He promises if we abide in Him, if we have a close relationship with Him, and its words will remain in us. So think about it. What are you waiting on right now? And are you waiting for His word? Are you seeking for His word? And He said that if we pray according to His word, and this will be to His Father's glory, that we will bear fruit and be called His disciples. The next one. The last two verses, it says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Here. For with the Lord is His unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all his sins. So I want to encourage you, the last thing we really want to know is, waiting in God is not focusing on the answer. It's focusing in hope. Because we know Jesus is a living God. He loves you so much. He knows the best for you, and He will prepare the best for you. Now, talking about the decision that I followed to come to Canada, and then my mom today would proudly always tease me like this. I told you, you should come to Canada, otherwise you won't be able to meet William. Okay, that's what he's been telling me. Yeah. But, he just wanted to say that, I was wrong. But let me tell you, it's true. Now, it's not just waiting for an answer, but we are waiting for how God, He Himself, because of His unfailing love, put our hope in it, because He knows your future. He knows God, He knows our church future. He knows much more than we know. So put our hope in Him. So do not worry. When we worry, we just think about how we can or cannot handle the situation. But turn our worry into worship. Do not be a panicked worrier, but be a true worshiper. And then, if you are waiting on God, and if you can pray in a way, the first thing is, you really cry out to God that you trust your meeting. The second is, Lord, is there anything I need you to forgive me, to say sorry? The third is, Lord, please give me your word, I'm going to read all the word. And the fourth is, God, I praise you. Because I know who you are. I know that you are loving me and redeeming me. And I'm sure God will help us. The last slide is, I want you to pray with me for a situation that you can think about. Either it's for the church or for yourself, alright? So I want you to pray with me together by putting your situation here. Now, the way that we do by closing the prayer is like this. You can softly read the psalm with me, but during the blind time, I want you to say it say it softly in your own seats to God. Can you think of anything right now that you really need God's guidance? Okay, so let's look at this light and pray together. Out of the depths. Tell God what it is. Okay, together. I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, keep a record of sins, Lord, this extent. But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than the watchman waits for the morning, more than the watchman waits for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. O Lord, hear our cry. Help us not be faithless, not be impatient, not be proud, or not be wayward. Help us to have this attitude before you, and earnestness and patience to wait on you, so that we can grow to be mature. Lord, thank you, because we don't just work on our timetables, we work on our hearts. In Jesus' name, we